Buongiorno everybody and welcome to a new episode of the ID Element Show. This time all about the launch of DFS V2. I'm here with Ramiro and Toland, who are the unsung heroes of the DFS store. I know what you guys love, but that's true, because people see the features of the product, so they think like, oh, who's the developer who wrote this? But a world-class product like ADFS needs tons and tons of intelligent, thorough testing. And in fact, you guys are part of a test team, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Perfect. So before we delve into the details, let's talk a bit about your history with Microsoft. And let's start with Ramiro. Ramiro, tell us a bit about your history with Microsoft.
Okay, so I joined Microsoft back in 2006. When I came here, we were starting our first community technical previews of ADFS V2. And I've been mostly working on testing the administration side of the product and concretely the user interface. Before that, I work as a consultant back in my country. Before that, I used to be an intern in Microsoft.
Wait, what is your country, to be clear?
Oh, sure, absolutely. I'm from Bogota, Colombia.
All right, nice.
Yeah. And,
great. Thank you, Ramiro. And here we have Toland. Toland, how about you?
Hi. So after graduating from college, I started working for Microsoft back in 2005. I first joined the card space team. And this was when the federal identity space was still very new at that point. I was initially in charge of the UI testing and later moved on to the API and the roaming story. About a year or year and a half ago, I moved over to the ADFS testing, and I mainly focus on the perf and stress of ADFS.
All right, and that's definitely something that we need a lot if we want to issue all those tokens. All right, guys, so let's now get into the matter. How do you test a behemoth like ADFS V2?
Yeah, that was an interesting and challenging project all the way through. We started with our clear premise, which was to represent the customer scenarios as close as we can in our lab. And that, of course, brought up a bunch of challenges and technical problems that we needed to address. So the first one was we have many, many areas in the product, and we have to exercise each one of them in the, like, positive cases, negative cases. So even the cases where you don't think that, oh, this will never happen, we are testing those kind of things. And the first challenge we had is how are we going to put all these tests together, and what's the lab infrastructure that we need, and that sort of thing. So we had to put together a bunch of topologies and agree upon ourselves in the test team how to coordinate the execution of those tests within the single topology effort, but at the same time representing the different scenarios in a very concise way to optimize our resources. So the first topologies that we started with is, I'm going to use
very good idea.
So the first scenario was the single server, where we just have the ADFS2 over here and the client machines accessing the server and getting the tokens. So then, as we were aiming to provide our users a seamless experience both for setup and for administration, we also wanted to provide them a very streamlined experience, but at the same time being tolerant to faults and at the same time redundant. Probably Toland can explain how we did the performance side of things, but basically, this was the first topology that we have. The second topology in the realm of one organization is having ADFS 2.0 with a redundant and fault-tolerant sequence, and that's what we call farm scenarios in ADFS 2. This farm, we want customers to be able to use this functionality without having to create without having to instantiate a full-blown database server for the configuration. So we leverage this through Windows internal database, which is a Windows component that allows us to have a transactional database engine underneath. So as we were moving forward, we had to simulate the actual operation scenario, which is these times two organizations doing the same thing. So we ended up doing this scenario with organization one, and at the same time here, this triangle is AD, like one AD domain, and then another domain, which is the organization two, and then we have ADFS here. So these were the topologies were evolving around these complexities in terms of testing.
In this case, one was the Ethernet provider and the other the federation provider.
Correct. In this case, we just have this organization one as the identity provider, and this would be the federation provider. And then, depending on the topology we're using, different features come into play. For example, in the full federated scenario, we have this goal where throughout the entire lifetime of this relationship, from its inception towards like ongoing administration, that the experience is seamless to the user. So one of the features that we worked towards was the trust management feature, where the key material that we were using in the STS for signing the tokens and also to decrypt the tokens that are sent to the federation provider, that as this keys change over time, how do we interchange that information in a way that is seamless to the user, but is secure and is functional. So as we were moving forward, we had to simulate all these conditions where, oh, what happens if this guy rolls over that certificate, but at the same time, this guy is getting tokens, for example. Or what happens if there's an emergency this key is compromised, and then you just have to propagate that over. How can we just guarantee that the experience is as seamless as possible? So all these challenges were part of this testing effort, and we were refining them. And as the topologies were evolving, we wanted to incorporate more and more of these customer representation. For example, one of this scenario is the federation is seamless and is very like straightforward in the conceptual point of view, but most of the actual users have a DMZ or a perimeter network where they don't expose these STS directly over the internet because of security reasons. So we ended up with a component which is basically a proxy that forwards the calls to the actual STS over here. And I think I run out of space in the whiteboard.
Yeah, never mind. You can expand on one direction or the other.
Like, let's say we have the proxy here. Proxy here, where we have to close down. Yeah, before we operation. So right now we just put a proxy over here, and it serves the requests, but without exposing the ADFS, the actual security token service over the internet. So we wanted to provide those options to our customers. One of the interesting challenges we had in test environment was to how to put together all these machines or all this topology at any given time from scratch. And we had to, for testing products like these, we have to invest a lot in a complex automation infrastructure where these can be run at will at any time with different, like, for example, versions of the operating system or different, actually different languages or different the details of domains and that kind of thing. So, yeah, but those in a nutshell were the scenarios that we tried in terms of topology. We also have, like when we go into the features, we had to expose different like set of tests per protocol, for example, the sample protocol, operation provider protocol. And we, of course, for example, a passive scenario, we have to test it in this topology, and this topology, like with different organizations. And in the concrete case of my experience in the user interface testing, which is the one that I own, we focus not only in the functional side of things, where like the UI does the right thing, but also in the usability part of it, which is something that is not very tangible for users when they get the product. But there's a lot of work, a lot of effort put into making sure that's the right experience to the user. So we're over a constant refinement, saying, you know, for example, we wanted this experience to be as seamless as possible. So one of our goals was that the user just have to set everything in less than 5 steps. So it's usable and it's also secure. So sometimes it's hard to strike the balance between these two aspects. So we really put a lot of effort into making sure this experience was as seamless as possible. In the case, for example, of the proxy, we refine these constantly because we wanted to make this like a sign-in kind of experience where the proxy signs into the STS, if that makes any sense, where this guy just types in the information about the proxy and then some secure interchange of data occurs. So this STS recognizes this as a proxy, for example. So we put a lot of effort into making sure that experience was seamless yet secure. I don't know what other areas I can talk about. I mean, there are many scenarios where we just had interesting challenges. For example, the PKI infrastructure between those domains. Sometimes we had to spin up domains dynamically and then making sure that the key material was distributed correctly so they replicate the actual, how the actual PKI will work in the real deployments.
Right, and also for what I know, there's been a lot of what we call dog fooding, let's say, in actually applying in real situations our interim releases. Like all these things have been tested by you guys, but also self-hosted and given to others in the company to be used, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the key areas that wanted to deploy these was in our own like infrastructure within Microsoft. For example, the website for EnrollOr benefits, for example, is using this infrastructure from, I don't know, like CDP 4 or
I don't remember.
Well, from the very like earliest releases, we were using the STS, the ADFS infrastructure to use our own features.
That's great. And it's thinking of a Cartesian product of all the things that you can use is really mind-boggling. It's crazy. So you mentioned something interesting about the fact that like your area was specifically about usability of the user, which for you, interestingly enough, is the administrator. Usually when we say the user, we think like the one that opens the browser. Instead, your user is the administrator. And You said that you tested it in different languages. Localization is typically something that we don't spend much time thinking about because, I mean, we have our own language, we use it. So is there anything interesting that you can share about it?
Oh, of course. So first of all, we needed to ensure this functionality was seamless and as good in all the languages. We released in 18 languages.
18?
18 languages,
wow.
Yes. And we had languages where with different alphabets, for example, Korean, Chinese. And Chinese splits into traditional and
simplified
and so on. We had also like different alphabets like Russian and Hungarian and French and Italian, of course.
Of course.
And one of the challenges we had is, of course, the first thing is was it was to create all this infrastructure and just saying with a flip of switch saying, yeah, when all these machines in Italian. That was one quite a piece of work. And also cover for different supports of the operating system. For example, PowerShell 2.0 is supported in, it's not like the same language matrix we had, so we had to account for those kind of things. And we run a number of tests, functional and covering all the areas, the protocols, like the same with the same thoroughness as we do the functional testing regularly in English. And we had to take care of other issues, for example, that the UI was showing correctly for the user, that the text was not falling off the screen, for example, and that we didn't, like, we're missing any piece of text and that kind of thing. And that was very challenging.
Wasn't there automation that you would go through the entire UI, take screenshots of everything, and then so that the tester didn't have to go through the whole UI himself?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of our key areas of investment was to UI automation because we have quite a lot of administration experiences, and what we ended up doing was to run a functional test in the UI, but at the same, as we were executing them, we were just taking screenshots, so we can just coalesce all that data and bring it to like a centralized location where testers can just literally play back, so we can see, oh, okay, so in this case, this piece of work, this sentence was slightly chopped, and we filed that as a code defect, for example. And interestingly enough, we found some language-specific product functional bugs that were affecting functionality of the product. So one of the issues I remember is that the Russian translation was the translators used quotes in the names of the claims. That when part of the experience of deploying Geneva after setting it up is to configure it. And then part of the configuration is create a default set of claims that you're going to expose to your partners. And those names are friendly names for language. And in the Russian translation, they just put quotes in the one of the default objects that we create in the database. And then when users were creating policy, like the policy to create the claims in the token, they were using those like pieces with quotes, and then the result is that the policy expression was not parsing correctly.
Fantastic.
But basically just broke the scenarios completely.
So the translators basically performed a SQL injection attack on us. Awesome. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
They're right. See, that's something that I would have never, ever imagined.
Yeah, other issue we found in regarding localization was that, again, with the parsing of the policy, is that a comparison for example, this claim has this specific suffix, and if that's the case, then transform it and pass it through. we found this problem where in Turkish, in the I, we have like the Latin I and the Turkish I, and we were missing a switch in the parsing logic.
All right.
That was interpreting incorrectly the capital I as a capital Turkish I, and all those sorts of issues we had to sort out.
Fantastic.
As we were going through the localization. And one of the key areas of this product being a server is its performance and stress. We don't let kind of a lot of effort in that.
That's great. So let's hear from Toland. How about performance, Toland?
So I was the main perf and stress tester for ADMS Perf
Guide
2.0. And so Ramiro already showed you the topology that's up there already. And we basically had a very similar topology. We did add a couple variations, such as SQL mirroring and one of the biggest challenges of a performance test that we have is the amount of resources we needed to actually measure the performance. And so our stress and perf tests are built upon the test code that the functional test team provided. And being a functional test, they had a lot of validation. And in order for us to measure the performance correctly, we had to strip away a bunch of those validation in order for to require the minimum number of clients to be able to measure the performance on our server. And so for performance tests, we would run them weekly. And we actually have this very interesting graph I can't show you right now, but that shows the trends of how performance progressed through time. And it was definitely helpful for identifying when we had a big regression and easily traceable back to which code change that would come in that made that that caused the regression. We generally have four types of tests that we run, and each of them have a specific purpose. The four types include profiling, which we run specific set of scenarios and see where the bottlenecks are. And we also have a latency run where we have we set a number of requests per second and see what the latency is. We also have a throughput run where we just bombard the server and see what our max throughput for the STS is. And finally, we have a step load run. The step load run is really interesting, where with a throughput run, what we see is that our latency is horrible. Like at the max throughput, we would see maybe like 2 to 3 seconds in latency. But with a step load run, we could see exactly where our latency starts to spike. And it's interesting to see the fact that latency actually is flat for most of the time until you hit that choke point, and then it just spikes up because all the requests are being queued. In fact, throughput actually drops at that point because the server is also processing, have to process incoming requests that are being queued and being waited upon. And some of the interesting challenges and things we found with the perf stressing is that one of the biggest issues is that in token validation, which is part of WCF, we noticed a couple of our scenarios, especially the username active scenarios, is that performance was always very low compared to like Windows transport or certificate transport. And the reason was that token validation was actually single-threaded in WCF. And because of this issue, we were able to talk with them and get them to release a QFE to make it multi-threaded, and we saw performance of those scenarios increase like 400-500%.
Wow, 400%, not bad, huh?
Yeah. Other scenarios that that profiling help is that the caching. We noticed that some scenarios made many calls to SQL Server, and especially if you had a lot of relying parties or a lot of authorities, it would hit the SQL Server every time for each individual policy. And by implementing cache in strategic places, we were able to lower the amount of latency and the back and forth talk with the SQL Server. And that definitely helped performance a lot too.
So basically at this point, all the variables that could have been tweaked to achieve a very performant service,
yes,
is just the result of these runs being executed,
yes,
very frequently. You know,
yeah.
To
it was also crucial that we had defined guidelines right from the start. Like, we've talked with customers, internal and external, and requested to see what type of performance they were expecting from our product. And by setting these from the start, we had something to talk about during our weekly discussions, and saying that these scenarios aren't meeting the bar that we set out in the beginning. Or, I mean, defining performance variables in the middle of game is just bad design.
Right.
And I think at our products, it's actually meeting our performance goals right now, which didn't happen until the very last minute because of a couple of DCRs which caused regressions. But I'm happy to say I'm happy where our product is in terms of performance at the moment. The other area I was in charge of was stressing. And stressing was an interesting challenge because we want to make sure our product was reliable and didn't crash out of the blue. And the fact that our reliability runs are multi-weeks long, and that means we have to reserve machines for that amount of time. We have two topologies that we set up for stressing, which we call long haul, which are the 1 to 3 week runs. We also have, for the other topologies, we do about a 24-hour run. And these runs are basically, we have X number of clients bombarding the server constantly, and the CPU on the server reaches between 80 to 100% utilization throughout the entire time. And what the purpose of the stress run is, like I said, reliability, making sure we don't have memory leaks. And another crucial point is that the performance does not degrade over time. So the performance we start out with at the beginning of the run is the same performance we see at the end of the run. The two main scenarios we attacked for the stress scenarios is off-box SQL topology, where we have an STS and it would talk to an off-box SQL. And the other topology we have is a WIT farm that Ramiro mentioned earlier. We have a set of 3 WIT farms which would sync their policy across, and we have 15 computers.
Maybe you want to do a little picture?
Sure. So we have a cloud of clients.
Wow, cloud is a very overloaded term these days.
So we have
a bunch of clients.
A bunch of clients.
Sorry for being
no problem. And we have a proxy here. We also have the main STS, and then we have our SQL. The STS connects to the SQL.
So SQL is a different machine. So
yes. So
okay.
I'll actually get to that point when I get to the wood farm. And so the half the clients will be talking to the proxy, which talks to the STS, and half of the clients will talk to the STS. And the proxy doesn't actually use much CPU since it's directing most of the work to the STS, but it does share a part of the work, especially if you're doing passive scenarios or username. It would actually do the authentication for it, that the STS would have done for it. The other scenario is we have a bunch of clients. We also have a proxy. And we have 3 STSs, which are a farm of 3, and similarly, and since it's a WIT farm, the database is actually on the machine itself, and ADFS has a special synchronization object that it does. And so, actually, back to a performance thing, because the fact that the WIT farm, the WIT, the Windows Identity Database, actually runs on the STS itself, We only recommend that for businesses that have a small policy, and because it actually uses the CPU and resources on the machine itself, and so with these are the two topologies we stressed for over 3 weeks, and we did not find any issues, at least as the final run showed. We have found stress issues previously where we were leaking memory issues because someone forgot to clean up a SQL connection. We've also noticed we've run out of SQL connections because someone forgot to close them. Other issues we've seen with stress is that...
I think the LDAP caching was something that required a lot of fine-tuning.
Yes, talking with the AD was definitely... We noticed some issues there when it was under stress. So these are just the valid scenarios. We also have a bunch of reliability tests that we do where we disconnect, we induce disconnections from the SDS, from the Active Directory. We induce disconnections from between the STS and the off-box SQL, and between the proxy and the STS itself. And we made sure that when the connection restored, everything continued to work fine.
Nice.
So you bring a very interesting set of tests that I think are important to mention here. But all of these scenarios are running, and they are in a nice flow where the user authenticates, and then the configuration database is fetched either through the Windows internal database or SQL server. And then we, since we are built on top of Windows Identity Foundation, we just emit a token using that pipeline of APIs and infrastructure. One of the key areas for us was the security, where we just wanted to ensure that the product was not exposed to vulnerabilities due to bad user input or bad data. So one of the functional tests that we also do is to all the pieces where we communicate between layers, for example, when we authenticate the user in a passive scenario to the STS, for example, we have these kind of tests that are called fuzzing, where we mutate the input. It could happen in the protocol level, for example, the HTTP communication, just change things in the middle that would, for example, break the signature, and see how the STS reacts. And in the passive scenario, is very interesting because we have a number of cookies that enable the single sign-on experience. So all these fuzzing, all those spots of fuzzing, we just exercise along with our functional test. As Tom mentioned, we run these periodically. So we're running these every week, for example, and just to make sure that all these fuzzing scenarios were addressed, were identified and addressed. And other kind of testing we did was called fault injection, where we just introduced an exception in the middle of a request to make sure that under no circumstances the service was brought down, for example, or that the process was abruptly terminated. And I think that you touch a very good point, and this is the simulating error conditions and bad input. Especially this is standards based, and we don't know, we can federate with ADFS in these side of things, but we don't know, we could use another STS as long as they implement our like the protocols of SAML or Dolly's Federation or Dolly's Trust. It can interact with it. So it's very important that at any protocol level and in the API interaction layer, we are resilient and robust and reliable in terms of execution.
We had a bunch of interoperability testing.
Yes, that is very true. We conducted a number of tests, especially when we were implementing our SAML protocol, we found that it was very key for us to to have like this interoperability with other partners, and we just went through the process to, let's call it, Liberty Alliance, where we, this is a totally external entity to Microsoft, and they just have this standard set of tests that we just follow in order for us to be interoperable with based on the guidance of the SAML protocol. And yeah, that's great. That's something that was kind of a journey.
Yeah. Well, it certainly takes a lot of effort to build a piece of a Windows Server like you guys did, but I have to say that this is really, really impressive. Like the thoroughness that have been poured into making this world-class product is great. And I'm so glad that we finally released it so that people can enjoy all your hard work. So guys, you have been really, really great. Thank you for your time. And hopefully we'll feature you again on the show soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much.